A new book out this week looks at how the hippies of the 1960s and 70s shaped the food we eat. It's called Hippie Food: How Back to the Landers, Long Hairs, and Revolutionaries Changed the Way We Eat. It is written by San Francisco Chronicle food writer Jonathan Kaufman, who joins us now. Jonathan, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me on.
And when you say hippie food, how do you define that exactly?
For me, hippie food was basically the foods that I grew up eating in the 1970s. Brown rice, tofu, granola, yogurt, sprouts, nut loaves, and other sort of brown, hearty, whole grain food.
And you grew up eating it because you were the child of hippies or what?
My parents weren't hippies at all, actually. I grew up in a small Mennonite community in northern Indiana, but these ideas about food had spread from the counterculture into, you know, the heart of the country by the mid-1970s. And so liberal Mennonites were eating this diet as a way to live more lightly on the land and eat more healthfully.
Well, yeah, tell us about the origins of this movement. Where did it come from?
It was a sort of a funny patchwork cuisine that took ideas and ingredients from the health food movements from Southern California of the 1930s to the 1950s, from macrobiotics, which was a philosophy and diet introduced to America by George Osawa, that it was basically a Japanese peasant diet with a sort of spiritual bent. And then the counterculture's own ideas about politics and how eating could be a political act. And then they flavored it all together with these from the flavors of non-Western countries, bringing in a lot of ingredients and foods that really weren't part of the American diet at that time.
Well, one of the foods was brown rice, which grew in popularity. Tell us about that. Why was that so important?
Brown rice was important for two reasons. One was that it was a whole grain, and I think counterculture kids were really interested in avoiding industrialized food. And the way to do that, they felt, was to get food that was, you know, as pure and whole as possible so they could avoid any processing. The other reason was that macrobiotics, this diet that focused on balancing yin and yang in the body, was based on the idea that, you know, brown rice was the principal grain. And so, in fact, you know, in the early macrobiotic diet, they believed that if you ate nothing but brown rice and miso soup for 10 days, you could completely change the cells in your body.
Hmm. Which you would want to do why?
To bring yourself in balance with the universe, which would bring you health and also much more happiness.
How much did all of this have to do with people in the 60s and I guess the 70s who had done a lot of drugs wanting to sort of detoxify? Really? I mean, it's a serious question.
There definitely was that influence, especially with early macrobiotics. People would, you know, get off LSD or stop smoking pot and do the brown rice diet in order to sort of purify themselves. What I heard more from people was that a lot of folks converted to vegetarianism after doing acid and feeling the sense of oneness with the universe and feeling like they didn't want to eat animals after that.
Hmm. You also talk in here about brown bread. Now, back in the 60s, white bread was what you found in the supermarket, but then a lot of people started going with brown bread.
Yeah, less than 10% of bread sold in stores in America was whole wheat bread at that time. But it was this movement to try and take control over the diets and wrest control from the corporations that were making food. And a lot of young kids really were becoming aware that there were not only vitamins were being lost in the milling process, but they were introducing chemicals and stabilizers and, you know, all of these things that they didn't know what they were into this sort of fluffy, white, tasteless bread.
It was also kind of a reaction to all of the pesticides and additives and processing that was going on in the food in that time.
Yeah, the 60s and 70s were a period when we as a country were taking stock of the repercussions of using pesticides like DDT. Rachel Carson's Silent Spring came out in 1964, and it had a huge impact on both the psyches and on, you know, sort of the politics around using pesticides. But also there were other exposés about, you know, the potential dangers of chemical sweeteners and additives. And so I think counterculture kids decided they might as well just get rid of it all, and that would be the safest option.
I want to ask you about a restaurant that you talk about in this book called The Source, and a man named Jim Baker, who would become known as Father Yod, who was the leader of what kind of sounds like a cult of people that wanted to go along with his way of eating.
And I think members of the Source family are comfortable with that word cult. He had been a bodybuilder, aspiring actor who moved out to L.A. in the 1950s. And he and his wife opened this early natural foods restaurant that was nothing like hippie food. But he had a kind of conversion experience, partially after he kind of committed a couple murders in self-defense and went down. He had kind of a breakdown and rediscovered himself and food through spirituality. So he eventually became Father Yod and was teaching a colorful spirituality, but it also was combined with a largely raw foods diet. And so he and his followers all lived together in a big mansion. They all dressed in white, long flowing beards. He had 13 wives, and they had this incredibly successful vegetarian restaurant in L.A. that drew everybody from producers to rock stars to the general public.
And the food was at the center of this whole idea?
It really was. I mean, because I think they felt like the food that they were eating would uplift them spiritually as well as physically.
So what happened to this movement? Because it's certainly not as pronounced today as it was back in the 60s and the 50s and the 70s.
Yeah, I think, I mean, part of it was fashion changed. A lot of the young counterculture kids who had, you know, devoted themselves to eating all whole grains and avoiding sugar, they grew up a little, they had kids, their kids didn't want to necessarily have the same diet, which is, I can attest, was definitely a factor in our household. And I think that the food in America evolved a bit more, too, and it became more complicated and frankly, better.
The whole hippie food movement, in a way, has gone kind of mainstream. We're all eating, you know, whole wheat bread and things like
Definitely.
That.
Definitely. Yeah, what was really remarkable is to look at 1970 and what nutritionists were saying about things like whole wheat bread and brown rice, and they were sort of poo-pooing the nutritional value of all those foods, to now when the USDA nutritional guidelines recommend that we eat, you know, half of our grains should be whole grains. And I think it's because that generation, their ideas about health there was a lot of soundness to it, and science ended up backing them up.
You know, there are a lot of people in this country who don't want anything to do with this kind of food. They just find it not that attractive. What do you think about that? That even though we know that there are lots of benefits from eating food like this, that a lot of people just don't like it.
Right. you know, I don't think that I think the counterculture really wanted to change the way everyone eats. And we've seen that didn't happen. But they introduced all of these foods that are an option for people. And so I don't think you have to eat no sugar or completely avoid white bread. But they did give this other path that people can choose and incorporate it in their diet in subtle ways, even as subtle as, like, you know, having oatmeal once a week.
How much of a connection do you see between the hippie food movement and farm to table, which we see in a lot of restaurants now?
There's a very direct link in the sense of the back to the landers who moved from cities, you know, to small towns and ended up becoming the backbone of the organic movement. They helped set up farmers markets in a lot of areas in order to directly sell their food to customers. They made connections with restaurants. And eventually, as the organic produce became more beautiful and varied, restaurants definitely bought in.
Jonathan Kaufman, why did you want to write this book? What did you want to tell?
I wanted to talk a little bit about my own origin story. I hadn't really paid much attention to this food until maybe 10 years ago when I was a restaurant critic and I went to a vegetarian restaurant in Seattle and realized, oh, this is the food that I grew up with. It's disappearing. There are probably all of these amazing stories behind, you know, why we were eating these foods, and the time to interview everybody, you know, who was involved in the movement is now.
How much of it do you still eat?
I actually eat more whole grains now than my parents. And because of writing this book, I do make brown rice and whole wheat bread a lot more often than I used to.
That's Jonathan Kaufman, whose new book is called Hippie Food: How Back to the Landers, Long Hairs, and Revolutionaries Changed the Way We Eat. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.